Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Well, you heard the breaking news from Mark Fry, the feds looking to elevate the charges against the political assassin, looking to go with the death penalty. Welcome to Drive Time with DeRussia. It's Jason Danis here. We've got you covered with Chris Schaefer and the whole WCCO radio news team with the severe weather potential as storms are moving through the Twin Cities. So we'll keep you up to date with everything you need to know. It looks like St. Cloud might start seeing the front line of this around 4 o'clock. So we'll keep you safe and up to date, and you keep informing us as to what you're seeing in your neighborhood. You can always text us with your weather updates. You can email me, jason@odyssey.com. But if you want to text in or reply, if you're watching our video stream on YouTube, you can always chime in the chat room there as well. I wanted to start today with this conversation about the political assassin, because the New York Post has reported a jailhouse interview with Vance Belcher, and the feds are getting ready to escalate the charges. And you heard that breaking news. And I am not a huge advocate of the death penalty. And I think Vance Belcher, absolutely, because we have death penalty as a law, as an option in the federal system, if he's found guilty, he should be put to death. I know Dan disagrees with me on that. But this is the law. It is available. And to me, what this guy did is beyond murdering two people. He attempted to kill another family, the Hoffman family, and then he showed up at two other houses intending to kill those people. The actions of this one man has potentially changed the course of politics in this state, as people will be thinking differently about whether or not they want to run, if they want to put their family in jeopardy. This, to me, is as close to terrorism as you get. But I find myself very conflicted as to whether or not I care why he did what he did. And that was sort of my gut reaction when I was reading the interview in the New York Post. And, you know, I mean, every news organization wants to talk to Vance Belcher because, well, it's, if I were in the journalism world, I would absolutely be saying, like, look, the fact that law enforcement brought this guy in alive gives us the opportunity to try to figure out if we can learn something from what he's accused of doing. And also, I don't care. And I don't want him to be able to have a platform to say whatever nonsense he believes. Am I alone on this? Do you guys care why Vance Belcher killed Mark and Melissa Hortman, went after the Hoffman family, went to, do you want to know? 651-461-9226. I, And I'm not one to say, like, oh, if the media finds out, they shouldn't report it. That's not me. If there's information, we should have it. But in his first court appearance, he said, basically, he said that, like, he was looking forward to court so the truth could emerge. He said, I'm looking forward, this is in court, I'm looking forward to the truth and the facts about the 14th, especially what happened before the 14th. And to me, that just sounds like, I don't need to hear your BS justification for why you did this. There is no justification. There is no excuse. There is no rationale that would, for me, do anything other than make me mad. Now, the rest of the political class and the pundit social media clickbait world, they are desperate to put some explanation on it, not because they care about what happened. It's so they can be right. In the immediate aftermath, it was, well, this guy is a Democrat. Remember all of that going around? And it turned out that's not true, but people just want to be right. They want to have something that gets their opponents, and they just want something to prove themselves right. What does the explanation to this get us? Is there anything that you would believe from a guy who executed two people, opened fire on three more? Is there anything that he would say that you would believe? Everything he says is out of self-interest. Whatever he says is the reality as to why he acted. I just don't know that for me, I'm going to believe it. I'm just not going to believe it. So here I am as someone who has spent my life pursuing facts and information so I could present it. And today, on July 15th, 2025, I'm saying, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I don't want to hear it. I would be fine if I never heard another word from this guy. Zero interest. 651-461-9226. Lots of texts coming in. We welcome your calls. Dan, it is like, I think our listeners can hear me sort of struggling with this because in general, I think if you can get a little information about motive, you can get a little information about where in the media ecosystem, if he was consuming a bunch of media that led him down this way, maybe it would help us sort of figure out. I don't think it's going to help anything. So I don't know. It's just knowing for knowing.
I agree in the sense that I don't think it's going to help us figure something out in terms of preventing another tragedy of this kind to happen again. That's not why I think this needs to come out. The reason that I think this needs to, and I don't have any personal interest, I'm with you, I'm disgusted by this guy. I don't need to know. His mind and soul are broken, and nothing he says is going to make any kind of logical sense to me. But I do think this needs to come out and be out there for no other reason than he's trying to set himself up as a victim of a government conspiracy. And he's done that from the very first time he's been in court, when he was whining about the conditions in the jail and those they were being so mean to him and all this other nonsense that the sheriff of Sherburne County rightly smacked down the way that it should have been. But now, even in this interview with the Post, right, if the government lets the truth come out, this is all trying to set up that this is some sort of vast government conspiracy. So you want to fix that? Shine the light of day on it. The best disinfectant, right, is light. So put everything out. Put everything he says out there. There can be no conspiracy. There can be no cover-up. He's got nothing to say but whatever nonsense he's going to babble. And it'll be obvious to all of us that that's all it is nonsense, and we can then dismiss it. But I want to shut down any kind of government conspiracy nonsense right out of the gate.
He does say that it didn't involve the Trump stuff or pro-life. He said, I am pro-life personally, but it wasn't those. He said, because, you know, a lot of the names on the list were people who have been associated with protecting abortion as a right. He had all Democrats on the list. But again, like, one, we don't know if the list was a real list. There were a couple names on the list of people who were already deceased. Just everything with this guy, to me, is likely a lie. So the names on the list, was that a real thing or not? We don't know. The handmade flyers that he had in his car about the whole, about the No Kings rally, was that a real thing or a lie intended to throw people off the trail? I come from the opening position that everything he says is a lie. So hearing him talk to the New York Post or hearing him tell his story in court, I'm not interested. Jeff is in Sauk Rapids. Jeff is on CCO. Do you want to hear what his excuse is, Jeff?
No, I don't. I don't care. There's nothing that'll make anything excusable or make sense, or there's nothing of value in it. And if anything, I want to see him go to his grave feeling like he'd been cheated out of his platform or his chance on stage.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that way too, Jeff. Thank you. I think, as UGEL says on our YouTube feed, the guy deserves his day in court. He deserves a fair trial. He deserves a good defense, and that's all. But Stacy says, I do want to know what ideology or rhetoric guided this monster. Is there a group pushing this sort of action? And Stacy says she would approve the death penalty. What do you think? Do you want to know? The breaking news just within the last 30 minutes is that the federal government has indicted him formally on federal charges, indicted on 6 federal crimes, including stalking and murder. And in this news conference that's happening, we are expecting that they will seek the death penalty. This is the first step towards seeking the death penalty, is what interim U.S. Attorney Joe Thompson said just 10 minutes ago. 651-461-9226. Drive time back in a minute. Do we want to hear anything that the accused assassin, the man accused of killing former Minnesota House Speaker Melissa Hortman, her husband, Mark, in their home in Brooklyn Park, shooting State Senator John Hoffman, his wife, Yvette, and their adult daughter at their Champlin home, and then stopping at a Maple Grove representative's home and a New Hope senator's home. Do we want to hear what he has to say? The New York Post has interviewed some comments, published some comments from a kind of jailhouse back and forth. They use like a kind of a text messaging system type thing. My view is no, that I do not want to hear it. 651-461-9226. And the feds are giving us an update right now as they have officially and formally charged the federal charges in this case. Already, Vance Belter faces state charges, but these federal charges are the stalking and the murder charges, and that does open the door for the death penalty. So that is the reason for the federal charges. Minnesota does not have a death penalty. So that is the rationale for the feds coming in and sort of bigfooting on this and trying to go first. On the text line at 651-461-9226, I hear lies all the time. I want to hear what he has to say, whether truth or lies. We all choose what we will believe. I get that. I get that. I think my interest is, my concern is that we have a lot of lunatics out there now. And the way information spreads and the way people have decided they don't believe mainstream media, they don't believe the government, they don't believe the police, they don't believe anything other than whatever craziness they want to listen to. I worry that if you give this accused killer the chance to just kind of say whatever he says, whatever he wants to push, then now, almost Luigi Mangione-like, you run the risk of having this guy be another sort of folk hero. Jason, you are 100% correct. There is no justification for what he did, and what makes it worse is to hide behind the veil of Christianity. There is not 1 ounce of Christianity in his actions. Another texter, let's not let him become a perverse media celebrity. I don't want to hear from him ever again. A lot of people are on that. I don't want to hear him ever again. My main reason on this is I don't know what we would do with this information. Normally you think like, all right, if I knew the justification, and there's been all this discussion about toning down the rhetoric in the aftermath of this. And I will say this, like, I highly doubt that the temperature of the rhetoric really had anything to do with what led this guy to do this. There are more than 100 million people in America every day taking part in high, hot rhetoric. Do I like it? No. Do I think it creates murderers? Not really. I don't. Texter, if the Star Tribune ran with this versus the New York Post, would I be as outraged? The Star Tribune did publish a story on this today. I'm not mad at the media for doing it, to be clear. I'm uninterested in the explanation. And it does have me thinking a little bit about the whole decision that makes sometimes to accept a plea deal, right? Where sometimes you take a plea deal so you don't have to put the family through hearing it. Part of me thinks about, like, is it worth taking a plea deal just so this guy doesn't get an international platform to tell his story? I don't know. I mean, the deal would have to be just like you avoid the death penalty. That's an interesting question. So how much do I believe in what I'm saying is the question here. Would I be willing to take a plea deal in exchange for this guy never being able to write a book, never being able to do an interview, never being able to tell his story? Yeah. Yep. I think I would. I think that would be a valid trade where we all get spared whatever. I mean, frankly, I've heard enough to know that whatever we're going to hear is going to be ridiculous.
Right.
And unactionable for the rest of us. There's nothing. If his rationale was, I'm pro-life, and I needed to do something about these killers. All right. Well, then you can say like, well, all right, this goes again to that, you know, how pro-life are you?
It just shows the broken logic of that. Yeah.
If his logic were, I love Donald Trump and we got to get these Democrats, we got to declare war on the Democrats. All right. Then you could say like, oh, wow, like, where are you getting your information? What are we doing here? But he said it's not that. Do I believe him? No, I assume everything he's saying is a lie. But it's just not actionable. So I would take the trade. I know you don't like the death penalty.
Yeah, I mean, when I talked about it when you were gone.
Which I don't like the death penalty either, to be honest. Like, I'm not.
Well, yeah, there's a difference between not liking it and, you know, me being morally and ethically opposed to it on every level whatsoever.
Yeah, correct.
I have a little deeper passion for it than you do, and that's not any disrespect.
No,
of your
and just, I don't. Yeah, I have no disrespect for your.
My thought is simply, when we talked about it when you were gone, you know, the idea that you could use the death penalty as leverage to get this guy to plea, so you don't have to put people through a trial, is something that makes a certain logical sense, except for the fact that this guy has basically confessed to it. Right, he had a note to the FBI in the car. They've got this guy dead to rights.
Yes.
So there's no need in that sense to get a plea deal out of him because you've got him.
You got him.
You've got him.
Yeah.
So the death penalty in this case is about seeking this guy's death, which I think it's wrong for the government to seek anybody's death. So
yeah,
I'm opposed to it on those grounds. Now, if somehow it works out that they do a plea deal in, you know, your scenario, I'm 1,000% for that plea deal. I hate using the death penalty to leverage it, but you know, if it ends up where the government isn't killing people and we have this guy locked away in a 4x8 cell for the rest of his natural life, where he can't communicate and you know try to start a movement or anything,
right?
I'm all for that. I got no problem with that whatsoever.
Texters say people want answers. No more Andrew Cunanans, where the families have no answers. I feel that too, right? Like my immediate reaction when they brought him in alive was, thank goodness, maybe we can understand what happened here. But I've heard enough. We'll continue to cover the breaking news, of course, as the feds update, the fact they've charged, filed federal charges, that happening just this afternoon. We'll have the latest for you in a half hour here on CCO. When we come back, great news continues for downtown Minneapolis. Maybe less great news for those of you who have enjoyed being remote workers and working from home. Right now, there is one holdout. One holdout and a big one. I'll talk about who is thumbing their nose at return to office, and we'll get some insight from the head of the downtown council, who will join us in just a minute here on CCO.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll watch those storms, and you can text in if there's anything noteworthy in your area. It has been a big week for news about downtown Minneapolis in a good way. And so we wanted to talk, and I think it's a good way. I know some of you out there will talk to me till you're blue in the face about how you don't want to come back to the office, how it's not your job to support the coffee shops and the restaurants. I hear you, and then I dismiss you. I am hearing you. I think it's going to be great for downtown Minneapolis, and I think we'll get used to it. I'm hopeful that the new era incorporates the flexibility that so many of us want. So you'll still have that flexibility, and also we have downtowns, Minneapolis and St. Paul, that have lively, energetic activity. And not empty buildings. Adam Dunick is the president and CEO of the Minneapolis Downtown Council. I know you and I are fairly aligned on this topic, yes?
Without a doubt, absolutely.
Target announcing officially that they're bringing their largest business unit back. And Target is so ridiculous in the way they talk about all this. They're like, this is not a policy change. Our leaders... different sector leaders have or departments have been able to call their teams back however they wish. But it's a big deal when the biggest unit, the commercial unit, brings back what? Do you have a sense for how many folks are going to end up back downtown three times a week?
It's without doubt hundreds of employees, possibly even 1,000. It's their biggest unit, so it's hard to know exactly how many employees, but it's a big deal. As has been said, I think, in the newspapers, this is a Target town. And they really set the tone for business leadership. And this has been something I think people have been waiting for quite some time. You know, to be clear, they've been leaders in a lot of other ways downtown, certainly big supporters of us and of some of the work that we do to support all of downtown.
They're still like spending money on nonprofits and sponsoring stuff. And I see them everywhere.
Absolutely.
Like they are. They have not vanished.
Right. But this last bit of having them in the office makes a big difference, not only for their employees, but all of the other businesses that have a presence here to do work with Target and for Target. It really has a huge ripple effect for our city.
How do we really get a handle on how many people are downtown? Do you have, after all this time, a metric or a way of measuring that feels reliable to you?
There are a couple ways to measure it. One is some cell phone data. There's a company that we work with. They're a vendor, Placer AI. A lot of people use it. A lot of retailers track it to track foot traffic in their own stores, you know, week by week, month by month. You can also track badge swipes and work with companies to try to get a sense. That's up to them whether they want to share that information with us. But, you know, we're right around. We've been watching this for a while.
Parking ramps, that helps too.
Correct. Yeah, I just was talking to a close friend who works for City Parking. They have 12 garages. You can get a sense for what the revenues are, what the trajectory is. Transit ridership is another indicator. As transit ridership increases, we see more people in the office and more people downtown. So there's a handful of different things we look at to closely track. But the cell phone data can break out people that live here versus tourists and travelers versus people that just are coming to the office more 9 to 5.
Adam Dunick is with us from the Downtown Council in Minneapolis. I mean, some of this we're feeling already, which sort of surprises me. I guess I didn't know what kind of vibe we were going to feel summertime in downtown. Summertime downtown in this state has always had a Friday vibe, right? Like that summer Fridays that many companies use.
Yeah, there's just a lot of vacations that happen. There's some juggling of people's family schedules and that sort of thing.
But it does feel like and many of the Skyway business owners have said, yeah, like we haven't had the dip that over the past post-pandemic years we've seen in June.
That's correct. And the other thing we watch closely and work with Beat Minneapolis, our tourism partners, is what are the hotels look like? That really drives a lot of traffic downtown. And that has remained strong this year, too. Last year, we had 3 record months in a row in our city for hotel occupancy. So taking a look at what that was going to do in relation to the concerts, the other conventions, the other kind of business that we're trying to attract. There is some move towards more business travel, too. Delta's reporting that. Other airlines are seeing that in their in the records that they're tracking. And so that's an exciting, hopefully, next step that we'll see in a turn and a transition as we see more people come into the office and getting back to a little bit more of a, you know, normal. I don't like to say normal because we have evolved. I mean, the workday and the work week will likely never look the same in terms of Monday through Friday being there, you know, 8 or 7 in the morning till 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
And I think that's mostly positive. I think the fact that people are able to have flexibility, my beef has always been that I think part of why people are frustrated with coming to the office is the fact that managers have been relatively inflexible. All of us have had that moment in our work career where you sort of had to beg to get out of work early to go to a kid's choir concert or soccer game. Mm-hmm. You felt guilty leaving to go to the dentist in the middle of the day. I hope, and I fear, but I hope that, you know, there will be some lessons learned about what employees really did like about the flexibility.
Without a doubt. And I would even add on to that, the thing that I've heard loud and clear from companies all over the city is it has to do with culture, both driving culture, getting people in the office for an important reason, and then having the office designed in a way that makes sense, not just sitting in your office, not interacting with people. How do you mix the social time with the focus time? Those sorts of questions are things companies have been grappling with for quite a while, even before the pandemic. That just kind of exacerbated the challenges that they're facing.
When we get back to a more busy, more active downtown, what are the things that, you know, you guys are looking at as a downtown council to make sure that this goes well? What are, you know, the official dates for Ameriprise for going from 3 to 4 days, for Target coming back in a bigger way? You know, we want it to be good. We don't want it to flop and then have all the workers say, like, well, I told you, this is why it sucks. Whether it's, you know, what are things you guys are working on in that regard?
That's a great question. It's a bunch of things. And I would say it starts with issues of transportation access, trying to connect either commuters with the easiest way to their buildings and that sort of thing, to working with Metro Transit on their transit routes. So we play a role to that degree in a collaborative role with the city or with other groups in those areas. And then making it a clean, green, and safe operation is exactly what the Downtown Improvement District does. That's the other part of the operation that I oversee. It's a project of the Downtown Council. But the DID has the ambassadors out there. We have safety presence that works out on the street to make sure that people come down and have a great experience, a better experience than maybe they thought they were going to, and to try to, you know, make this the cleanest, safest city that they would want to spend their day in. My hope is that the more people that are coming to the office every day, they have that experience, talk about it with their friends and their social networks and say, hey, it's not just going to a game that made going downtown enjoyable or going to a restaurant. It's also going to the office every day.
I want to ask you about Hennepin County because the Star Tribune wrote about that. One of their columnists wrote about that today. I have strong opinions on Hennepin County. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Twins Ticket Tuesday, so we are giving away a 2-pack. We also are giving away, it's a 4-pack.
That's a 4-pack.
It's a 4-pack to the Twins.
We're giving away so much stuff, it's easy to get crossed up.
And then a 2-pack of Paul McCartney tickets later. So the Twins tickets will be for Friday, July 25th, the first home game out of the All-Star break. 4 tickets to the Twins versus the Nationals, and they're doing a post-game laser show. So that should be fun. You can buy your tickets for that at twins.com/tickets, but be the third caller when we play that sounder. Hennepin County, Adam Dunick, the president and CEO of the Minneapolis Downtown Council. Hennepin County has what Star Tribune columnist Eric Roper called a lax hybrid work policy. In his story in the Star Tribune today, Eric said that basically you can come into the office one day a month and qualify. The county executive said, well, like, that's not exactly how most people are doing it. But the county and to a lesser degree, the city of Minneapolis, I feel, have sort of let us down as taxpayers by not being more aggressive in calling people to come back to the offices that we as taxpayers are paying for. Is there any movement on that front?
No, I think that there is. Just like all the employers downtown, we are seeing more people in Hennepin County Government Center. There's some progress heading the right direction. When I first started about 18 months ago in this role, I did hear pretty loudly from a lot of businesses, especially restaurants, that they were really frustrated with the county, with the city. Occasionally, people would voice frustration about businesses to individual ones, but a lot of frustration with that. And I think the real issue here is there's a downstream tax effect that the valuations of the buildings isn't really having an effect today, but 3 to 5 years from now, people's property taxes are going to increase as the value of buildings go down. And that's going to lead to less of a property tax collection in this downtown core. Yeah. And so that's not happening today until there's more frustration and I think a louder voice from voters to the county board and to people that are making those decisions that this matters to them. We've tried to talk with the county board about ways we can work with them to get more people down here, not just for work, but also for other events and things that they're doing. And we support a couple of their programs. Hennepin has a go outside program for their employees. So they're doing things to try to encourage that behavior. But, you know, like with a lot of employers, hopefully more people continue to come back.
Yeah. And some of it is like, you know, I get frustrated when the city or the county give these stats of how many people are coming into the office or the field. And so like the city of Minneapolis said, nearly 86% of city staff are in the office or the field at least 3 days a week. Well, the city employees, if you take the police department and the public works department out of the mix, like, what are we really talking about here?
Right, exactly.
So I don't know. These stats always are like, come on.
I get your take completely. And the thing I'd pivoted a little bit to is I think what can be more harmful is some of the rhetoric from some of the county board members or the city council members about business and about how evil businesses or how corporations aren't helping the community, because that's not the story that we have here in Minnesota. We have a pretty rich tradition of companies showing up in a big way for communities. And instead we get rhetoric about, oh, billionaire sports teams want this, or these companies are trying to hurt people instead of help people. And that just has not been our track record. We've had a much stronger track record of having business and workers work together. And that's, you know, something I'd like to see, and see that rhetoric turn around.
This was a state representative, Aisha Gomez, today on Twitter. Is that what you're talking about?
I was actually more referring to some of the moves recently about...
You're almost directly quoting her tweets. This is a common...
that's maybe incidental, but...
This is not an uncommon view among many.
It's more just the democratic socialist point of view about we should tax individuals in the city level. We should tax businesses. We should regulate the utilities in a different way to help fund city services. And some of this overreach, I just don't think it's really the solution to economic prosperity in Minneapolis. It hasn't worked.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad people are coming back. We got to take care of them when they come back. We got to make it easy as much as we can. There are pretty, Google like what the parking options are. There's a lot of cheap options out there, way cheaper than it used to be pre-pandemic. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it.
Thanks for
if you're
me.
Watching on the stream, we're both wearing like the same color today. It looks a little ridiculous on YouTube. It's a light pink Tuesday here on CCO.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.